environment to me when I went to Oregon State to interview. And if you guys know anything about Oregon, it's two different states within the same. You know, we see a lot of that in this country. So the west side, you know, over the mountains, it's humid. It is highly populated. That's where Portland is. That's where Salem is. That's where Eugene is. And then you go to the east side, which is 70% of the state. It's high elevation, very dry, mostly public lands, and that's where all the beef cattle is, on the east side. And the research station that I work at, we have about 300-350 cows, Angus, Hereford crosses. And we run them in 12,000 acres, so it's about a cow per 40 acres. So when I first talked to my cattle manager, hey, what do you think about AI our herd? You know, they had a pretty good established breeding season, you know, bull breeding season, 60 days. It was working good for them. And our breeding season is in July when cattle are grazing those extensive pastures. One cow per 40 acres. He almost shot me. He said, what the hell are you talking about? You just came from Florida. You're from Brazil. I mean, you just moved here. You're talking about AI. And first year, I wasn't able to convince him to do it. Second year, I was able to get some partnership going with Zoetis, with Gen X. And he said, all right, let's give it a try. It took about, you know, 4 to 5 days to gather all the cows during the summer. Okay, 5 days to gather the cows. And then we just did the co-sync protocol. That was in 2009. We are AIing every single year since we first tried. When he saw the benefits, the economical benefits that Cliff talked about, okay, the next winning time, he agreed with basically all I had to say and basically what Cliff talked about to you guys the last presentation. Not only that, our calving season is during the wintertime when it's minus 30 degrees out there. He doesn't care much about economics because all the money goes away to the university, but having those calvings, you know, being concentrated in a few weeks compared to 2 months, that changed his mind right there. So he had to put up some extra work during the summer, but he saved a lot of work during the wintertime, you know, when calves were dropping. And that's what got him to do it. So, you know, that said, there's plenty of advantages of using AI. And we just have to see which ones apply to us and applies to our clients and capitalize on that. Now, the title of this presentation, and I'm going to be focusing on impacts of disposition, stress, and acclimation to handling on productive and reproductive performance of Bos Indicus-influenced cattle. We do have data with Bos Taurus. We do have data with Bos Taurus, Bos Indicus crosses. We do have data with Bos Indicus breeds. I'm going to focus on the Bos Indicus here, you know, for the sake of time. But everything that I talk about here also applies to Bos Taurus breeds. So, you know, first of all, what's temperament? And we all heard about this term before, and this is a pretty increasing topic in our trend topic in our discipline nowadays. It's basically the behavior responses of cattle when exposed to human handling. And as cattle temperament becomes worse, you know, their responses to human handling becomes more excitable or nervous or agitated. And the reason why I'm giving this presentation here today is to show you guys that temperament is another criteria that you should think about when selecting animals for your herd, either through EPDs for docility, either through DNA testing that's available for this trait as well, whatever works. I know they're doing a lot of work on those two specific technologies now. They're just getting better. So using that technology with a trait that I'm going to show you in the next few slides that's very important to production, I think it's another tool that y'all have to increase or maximize efficiency in beef cattle operations. It's a fairly heritable trait. Okay. Nowadays, in Oregon, in Brazil, in Florida, producers were selecting for temperament just to get rid of those crazy cows because they're hard to manage. But our group, group from Mississippi State, group from Texas A&M, we were able to document that those cows are not only worse to manage, they're also less productive than cows with more adequate temperament. So how do we assess temperament on a phenotypic standpoint? How can we look to a cow and say, that's a crazy cow, that's a calm animal? Well, you know, if you're a producer, you know that right away, okay? Those high-headed, long-eared, you know, Brangus cows in the back of the herd, you know they're trouble. Okay? You know that. But on a scientific standpoint, we have to come up with something that's concrete, repeatable, and accurate. But not only that, we have to do something that can be applicable in the field as well, something that producers can do in their operations and have or go through the same results or outcomes that we go through on a research scenario. First one is the shoot score. So every time we bring the cows into the handling facility to get a body weight, to vaccinate, to palpate, you can, you know, evaluate their behavior when they're restrained in the squeezing chute on a 1 to 5 scale, being one, an animal with very calm disposition, no movement, she's fine, she's relaxed. And then 5, it's that one that you have to open up the chute, otherwise you're going to have to buy another chute. And then you have 2s, 3s, 4s in between the 1s and 5s. So it's a little hard to see here, but this is a working chute at the research station I work at. I have a student. There is a calf right in here. It's kind of hard to see now because of the light. But basically, he's just given a score on this animal that's being restrained for a body weight collection. Something else that we like to do is to measure the velocity that the animal leaves the chute. Okay, when the animal is restrained, if he's not happy with that situation, if he's not comfortable being around humans, he's going to struggle. He's going to become more violent. Okay, that's a measure of temperament. Now, when you open up the gate and the animal wasn't comfortable in there, what's his or her response? Try to get away as fast as possible. So in this situation, we set up some timers right in front of the chute. You don't have to do that. We do this on a research scenario. But we know the distance. We measure the time it takes for this animal to travel this distance. We come up with a velocity. Or you can do something pretty similar, which is a 1 to 3 score. 1 is an animal that walks away, trots away, or runs away. Okay? And I usually like to do both. First of all, because, you know, they're there, I'm there. I just do the shoot score and X velocity at the same time. It doesn't take me 5 seconds on top of to, you know, add it to whatever I'm doing during that day. And, you know, sometimes you have an animal that's so aggressive, that, you know, that animal kind of freaks out and the shoot just freezes. Okay? And then you think, well, that's a calm animal. That's a calm cow. But you open up the gate, she just flies out of it. Okay, so sometimes by doing both, you kind of counter or you kind of come up with the flaws of the other technique. You might have an animal that's struggling so much in the chute, when you open the gate, she trips or she jumps. So her X velocity is not as fast as it would be if she just ran out of the chute. So we try to use both, and you see there is a pretty good correlation between both techniques for temperament. We do an average of both scores. We can come up with a temperament score, which goes from 1 to 5. 1 is a very calm animal. 5 is a very, or the most aggressive or excitable animal in our herd. So 1 to 5, based on shoot score and X velocity. In our herd in Oregon and the herd we work with in Florida, we just came up with this criteria. Animals with a temperament score less than 3, you know, we call them adequate temperament. It's not calm, because 3s, you can have a little bit of disposition right there. But we didn't want anything that's above 3. That's too much. And why? Well, I'm going to show you guys the reason to why animals with excitable disposition will perform as well as animals with a better disposition. But it's important to maintain some temperament in the herd. It's important to make sure our cows, they do have some disposition in them to survive out there. It's important to make sure that the calves we send to the feedlot, they do have some disposition in them to fight for bunk space. Okay, our cows in Oregon, they have to graze public lands for 6-7 months out of the year where they have to share you know, those pastures with bears, coyotes, cougars, and wolves. So if we don't have a little bit of temperament on those cows, okay, they're going to come back home in the fall without a calf. So they need to have some disposition on them to protect themselves and to protect their offspring as well on a cow-calf extensive based system. And the same thing applies to feedlots. So that's why we're not just looking into ones and twos. You know, three, that's the max we want to go in terms of disposition or temperament. Many factors that affect a disposition, and I think this one is, you know, goes across all species on this planet, with the females being more temperamental than males, and this is all science-based. There's no argue with that. Young animals, they're more temperamental than older animals as well, because the older animals, they've been through a lot. They learned, you know, what it takes to remain in the herd. And, of course, the ones that were too crazy, they're gone. Production system, and this is something to why I do this kind of work in Oregon, because we have a very extensive range-based beef production system in that state. So our cows, even though they're Boss Toros, and you might think, well, Boss Toros, they're calmer than Boss Indicas. They are out there for 7 months without seeing a single human being. When they come back home, you know, that first week is a challenge to get them used to being handled again by humans. And breed type, this is the reason why I'm giving this talk today, because Boss Indicus cattle, they are naturally more aggressive or temperamental than Boss Toros. It comes from their origins thousands of years ago. They're genetically, and they are naturally more aggressive. Those breeds are more aggressive or temperamental or more excitable than Boss Toros breeds. And everybody that's been around in a lower cow, a Brahman cow, knows what I'm talking about. Now, what's the connection between temperament and production? How an animal with an aggressive temperament can have impaired production? What's the link there? So I like to think there's three pathways we can focus on. Okay, this is not known yet. This is something that we are investigating. We have to keep investigating to get to the bottom of this. First one is feed intake. If you go into a feedlot scenario and you look at those more aggressive animals, they're not at the feed bunk eating all day long. They're in the back of the pen, okay, with their heads high, just searching for threats. Feed intake goes down. If feed intake goes down, gains go down as well. On a pasture-based scenario, on a range-based system, are aggressive cows, they're not grazing, okay? They're constantly searching for threats, either being from humans or from any other species or animals that are out there, okay? So feed intake is a point that we always like to measure and associate with the production losses caused by excitable temperament. Second one that we really focus on is the physiological effects, okay? Anytime there is a stress, anytime there is a fear-related response, the animal is under stress. Okay, stress releases a bunch of hormones, and many of those hormones are actually detrimental to production. And one of the axes we focus on is cortisol. Okay, high cortisol, usually production goes down. And I'm not gonna go into a lot of details on this because of time, but this is one of the main axes that we focus on. The third one is a genetic effect, okay? Perhaps the animals with the genes for excitable temperament, their genes for production are a little screwed up. We don't know that. Might be an association, okay? Animals with genes for bad disposition, for aggressive temperament, their genes for reproduction, their genes for marbling, their genes for gain, their genes for feed efficiency might not be as good as the genes from an animal with better temperament. This is something we have to focus on in the future, and we're doing it, but for now I'm going to stick to the physiological effects, which is something that we can measure right away. So, that said, the association between temperament and cortisol, this is in Brangus heifers. You see that temperament score 1 to 5. We don't have a lot of 5s on a research station. They're gone, just like in Cliff's research station. But you see there is a nice correlation between as temperament increases or temperament becomes more excitable, cortisol increases almost, you know, doubles or triples. On Brangus Brayford mature cows, basically the same relationship. Okay? Now, in the lower cows, this is in Brazil. I'll tell you something, guys. If you think it's a lot of hassle to gather cows and run them through the chute three times during the Astra synchronization protocol in America, you should go to Brazil and try to do that in Brazil. And even though the challenges in Brazil to AI cows are 10 times greater than the challenges here because of resources, prices, facilities, about 25% of the cows in Brazil are being AI nowadays because they know that it's worth it. There's different reasons, of course. You know, they can't have the Angus or Hereford bulls down in Brazil because they're going to melt, so they need to AI to improve their genetics, but they can do it. So can we. So could my manager at Oregon, even though it took him 5 days to gather the cows. So just, you know, that's what I tell my producers in Oregon when they ask me about AI. And I challenge them, just do it once. Once you AI, you don't go back. And it would be good to do a survey to see how many producers AI 1 year, and then they say, that's not for me, go back to bull breeding only. I don't think there's a lot of those. But anyway, going back to the lower cows, Bos Indicus breeds, cows with adequate temperament, about 40, cortisol, excitable, 55. Okay, so a large increase in cortisol. They are naturally more stressed or become more stressed when we bring them to the cow pens to get a blood sample, which also applies if we bring them to the cow pens to AI them. And in feedlots, the same relationship. Okay? Now, what's the correlation, not correlation, what's the association between temperament and reproduction? What does that mean? You know, more excitable temperament, higher cortisol, how does that translate into reproduction? Well, first of all, this is some research done at Oklahoma State 30 years ago. They were not looking into temperament at that time, but they kind of were because they were comparing cows that were acclimated to come to the cow pens for blood collection and cows that were not acclimated to that. And they saw that the acclimated cows, they were the cows with good temperament, even though they didn't call them like that, but they had much less cortisol than the cows that were not acclimated. And look at LH, which is the hormone that's responsible for ovulation. The cows that were acclimated, they had much greater mean cortisol in the blood than the cows that were not acclimated. And the pulses of LH, which is actually what triggers ovulation, again, triple. So when cortisol goes up, inside the body of the cow, there are some reactions that happen in the brain and ovary that prevents optimal LH release and concentrations in the circulation, which might prevent ovulation. So, you know, to get that into a more practical standpoint, we had about 100 heifers, Brangus heifers, in Ona, Florida, and we saw that the heifers that became pubertal by 12 months of age, okay, and heifers that did not become pubertal by 12 months of age. So yes and no in terms of puberty by 12 months of age. The heifers that did become pubertal, they were calmer, and they had less cortisol in the blood when we got blood samples. Okay, remember, when we gather them for blood sampling compared to cows that did not become pubertal by 12 months of age. That says something. When we move to the cows, a Brayford herd, bull breeding only. Remember, bull breeding only, no humans around. 90 days with the bulls. So it doesn't matter, you know, temperament, they're just aggressive when they're around humans. They might be temperamental all the time. All the time. Look at the chance of pregnancy or preg rates compared to temperament score. If you have a cow with a good disposition, up to 3, you have a 90%, 85% preg rates after 90-day bull breeding season. Then if you go to 4s and 5s, that drops down to 75%. So there's a nice association here between temperament and disposition on bull breeding cows. Okay? Now, we are also able to collect the blood sample from those cows on day 0 of the breeding season. We measure cortisol. Okay? Look at this. As cortisol increased, again, the chance of that cow becoming pregnant also came down drastically. So there is something in there. There is an association going on that we have to think about in terms of thinking about temperament as criteria for cow herd, because we want preg rates up here, not down here. Moving to the lower cows, AI only. This is a large operation in Brazil. Only AI cows, just they AI resync and resync again. They do 3 AI rounds on those cows because they know the importance of it. This is the first AI only. Look at disposition or temperament score. No fives again, just 4.5s. You know, the aggressive cows came down to 40%. The good cows, 50-55%. So if you have a herd with aggressive cows, this is what you're looking for. So if you have a herd with good-looking or good, you know, behaving cows, this is what you're looking for. Now, this is just, you know, splitting them into adequate or excitable, about an 8% drop in preg rates based on the criteria that I talked about, below 3 and above 3. Now, looking into cortisol, again, as cortisol increased, okay, preg rates to AI decreased. So on a very low stress scenario, he had a 55-60% preg rates. On a high stress scenario, he went down to 40%. So again, that cortisol is impacted by the cow natural temperament. But based on your handling system or the way you handle those animals, you can have a cow which naturally has low cortisol and bump her up to right here just by improper handling. You can make a calm cow an aggressive one. You can turn an aggressive cow into the devil if you want to. So the way you handle them, of course, has a very significant impact not only on that cow's disposition, natural disposition, because they develop a memory of what happens in the working facility, but also has a significant impact on cortisol, which in turn is going to impact the productive trait you are focusing on. Okay? So in Bostar's breed, this is our research herd in Oregon. This is where we run our cows, sagebrush, a little bit of pine forest, and then mountains in the back. It's pretty, but again, it takes 40 acres to run one cow. On our herd, this is AI, fixed time AI, plus 50-day bull breeding. Okay, we had a 7% drop in preg rates after the breeding season, so it's total preg rates. Winning rate, that difference remained the same. Winning weights were about the same on the calves from adequate cows, the cows with excitable disposition. But what I want to show you guys is this. This is in kilos, but, you know, multiply that by 2.2, you get pounds. You get a 20 or 15 kilo drop in kilo of weaned calf per cow exposed. So about a 35% pound drop in pounds of calf weaned per cow exposed. And if you translate that to the prices we were getting a few years ago when we ran the study, was $63 less on those cows compared to the cows with good disposition. So that tells you a lot. You know, those cows are getting, you know, less preg rates. Even though winning weights are about the same, they are winning less calves, consequently bringing less money to the producer if you are having cows on this group compared to this group. Again, this is just a summary. Excitable temperament. Hopefully you guys understood that this is important to reproduction. How? We're still learning that. But, you know, improving temperament of the herd by selection, by culling excitable or aggressive animals, it's probably a good idea to improve the efficiency in cow-calf operations. Briefly, into feedlots, because, you know, we retain ownership in our herd. So it's important to us that our calves in the feedlot to perform as best as they can, and temperament's a heritable trait. So forget about the cow, just think about the calf now. Okay, just the calf when they get to the feedlot. This is the actual winning body weight. Okay, just looking at the calf's temperament. Forget about the cow, just the calf. The calves with good temperament at weaning, they were already heavier, this is in kilos, compared to the calves with excitable disposition. So it is at about 15 pound decrease from here to here. Now, when we sold, we didn't sell those animals, but we just did the, you know, winning value at that time. They were about $20 less value because they were lighter than these calves. Translating to feedlot average daily gain was about the same. In this case, this is the hot carcass weight. 8 kilo decrease, which is about 20 pound decrease in hot carcass weight. When we got the money back from Tyson, okay, the carcasses from the excitable calves, they were about 30 pounds less value, $30 less valuable than the carcasses from the calves with good temperament. Not only because they were lighter, we had less quality in them, which I'll show in the next slide. The lower steers, about the same thing, a drop in feedlot average daily gain in this study. Feed intake also went down. Okay, feed efficiency also went down. What I want to show is intramuscular fat. Okay, this is the lower. Not a lot of this is Bos indicus. Not a lot of marbling in those animals. So you know, to qualify as a standard, they have to have 2.54% intramuscular fat. You know, to meet the requirements for standard marbling. The animals with good temperament, they did. Animals with poor temperament, they didn't. Okay. So not only size, carcass weight, but the quality of the carcass is also impacted by that calves or that steer, that heifer's disposition. So again, temperament in the feedlot impacts all of those traits. In Bos taurus, Bos indicus, there is a good group from Mississippi State that is looking into that, Texas A&M, all over the country. But we know that animals with aggressive disposition, they are not as productive in the feedlot. They don't produce as good as a carcass compared to cohorts with good disposition. So what's the connection? You know, behavioral, physiological effects, genetic effect. What to do? Selection, culling. Something else that you can do is expose those animals to human handling when they're young. Okay? After you wean those animals, it might be a good idea to expose them as much as possible in your operation to human interaction. Because that's the time when they're going to learn that if you handle them properly, of course, that's the time when they're going to learn that being around humans is not that bad. So, you know, to look into that, we did a study with Bos taurus animals in Oregon and crossbred animals in Florida. So we have data with both breed types. Basically, after weaning, we exposed heifers in this case. Okay, we're looking into heifers. To constant human interaction for about a month after weaning. Okay, so basically, for a month, we brought those heifers to the cow pens 3 times a week, and we exposed them to common handling procedures just to make sure they knew that coming to the working facility wasn't as bad as they thought, and make sure that, you know, being around humans wasn't as bad as they thought. So what happened was, before the acclimation, all those heifers had, you know, about the same cortisol in the blood. After the acclimation, so they were about 8 months of age here, then we found a difference. Okay, cortisol was greater on the non-acclimated control heifers than the acclimated ones. So the non-acclimated heifers, they were just on pasture. We didn't mess with them. The ones that we did the acclimation process were the heifers in orange. Looking at the shoot score, we're able to decrease shoot score of those heifers by the acclimation process. But more importantly, look what happened to puberty attainment. Those heifers were weaned in August. Their first breeding season started in January. So we had about 80% of our heifers cycling on the acclimated group at the beginning of the breeding season, and about 60% of the control heifers. Now we look into their breeding season. The heifers on the acclimated group, because they reached puberty sooner, okay, again, they became pregnant sooner in the breeding season, in their first breeding season, compared to the heifers from the control group. This is extremely important, especially for virgin heifers. Not virgin anymore, of course. So, you know, acclimation is an option, okay? Not saying that you should do that. I'm saying that after you wean your animals, especially your replacement heifers, might be a good idea to keep them on a pasture next to the house, next to the working facility, so they get used to human interaction, okay? When you go feed them, you know, get off the horse, the tractor, the truck, whatever you do. Walk, you know, in between those heifers for a while, just to acclimate them to being around humans. That's, you know, that's going to help. That's probably going to help a lot, okay, to remove that stress that they naturally have by being around humans. Oh, we tried the same thing with cows. Didn't work. They knew what they want, okay? So Matricals basically selecting or calling them for this position is probably the best way to go in terms of improving the overall disposition of the Matricals. So with that, just to finish up, excitable temperament detrimental to overall productivity of beef operations. We talked about reproduction. We talked about growth. We didn't talk about health here because we didn't have the time, but also impacts health of those feeder steers. How, you know, physiological, genetic effects that we're still trying to figure out what's going on. And to improve temperament of the herd, you know, it's going to benefit production of beef operations. Selection, using the technologies we have nowadays, it's probably the best way to go. And acclimation of those young animals to human handling is also a good alternative if you have the time and the resources to do so. With that, I'm not going to talk about this. This is some study we did with predation, with wolves. See how, you know, being around wolves would actually make those animals more aggressive. And this is also applicable to the south because I heard you guys have some problems with panthers, especially in Florida. But not enough time now. So with that, thank you very much. And if you have any questions, now it's the time.